It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning, and Judy, by the way, is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also Journal of a Duck Midwife, a book called Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and of course, like I said, the Serotonin Power Diet, and here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Werpman. Good morning.
Wow, what an introduction. I hope people are still awake after that.
No. It's the bugle fanfare is coming next.
Or just as long as you don't come and slap me in the face.
That's wonderful. And congratulations on the marvelous weather that's coming your way.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to start wearing sunblock.
No. The icky thing. Poor people in North Dakota. Are they having a storm in North Dakota, Marshall? I think they're having a storm of some sort in one of the Dakotas. There's some serious snow happening.
Yes, they have a blizzard.
But here, what happens is we just get cold again.
Oh, okay, super. Anyway, the article that I sent you this week, Jill, was inspired by looking into the window, through the windows of a nursing home. I don't think you call those anymore. Rehab, a facility that I pass every day when I take my dog for a walk. It's being renovated, and the front is still, the wall is just plate glass, so you can see what's going on. And a couple of days ago, I was walking past, and I saw that the walls had been painted. I think the walls that must be going to be the boundary for the living room. And the color was a very odd color. It was the color you might find if you're making yourself a strawberry or raspberry smoothie, sort of pinky with maybe a few pieces of areas of white, and interspersed with sort of columns of what looked like artificial plants that were sort of pasted on these columns. So the whole effect was this very pink wall interspersed with these green artificial plants that looked like a wall of growing plants. And I thought, what an odd color for a rehab home or a nursing home. And I began to wonder whether this had any credibility in research about the effects of color on mood and cognition, and whether certain colors obviously would make people calmer and others more agitated, because in a place where people are living in a facility and they don't really have much option of leaving, was this color picked in order to soothe the residents and maybe even soothe the staff? And what brought to mind was the fact that I had visited many, many years ago a residential hotel in Miami Beach where an aunt of mine who was in her very late 80s, she was almost 90 at the time, was living, and it was one of these places that provided three meals a day and housekeeping. But the residents lived in a room, and they went to a dining room for their meals. But it was a lovely place, very clean, well-maintained, except that the walls and the hallways and in each bedroom were painted this very intense pink. The color is Pepto-Bismol pink, for anybody who's ever seen that preparation for various stomach ills in the drugstore. And rather than being a very soothing color, it actually was quite agitating, because you sort of felt that you were drowning in a bottle of Pepto-Bismol. And, and I thought, here are two residences for older people with pink, but of course one pink seemed to be picked for its soothing ability because it was much softer, and the other one maybe to make people agitated so they would live longer. I'm not really sure. So I began to look into what the research says about how colors can affect our mood and our cognition, and there are many, many articles that are published on this, and there are many preparations that you can buy for, like wall coverings or paints, in order to apparently affect your mood and your ability to perform well on mentally challenging tasks. So I began to look into the research, and it's sort of, well, maybe, maybe not kind of information that you got from the kind of research that's going on. The most popular kind of research is to take two primary colors, red and blue, and see what effect those colors might have if you put people who are asked to complete some kind of problems on a computer. What effect would these colors have on their rapidity in doing this and the accuracy with which they did it? And they found that, yeah, there were some effects, that if you were in a room with red light, you actually may work faster at finding, oh, let's say, certain words beginning with the letter B and a list of words, so that being under red light made you find these much better, much quicker. But if you're in a blue light, you might be able to complete more intellectually challenging tasks than you would if you were under sort of a white light, which is really sort of a neutral color. And then, of course, there are all sorts of studies showing, supposedly, that if you put people in a restaurant or in a shopping area, if you have certain colors on the walls, that you might get people to feel happier. And there was one study in which you put restaurant patrons in a restaurant that had either violet, which is an odd color, or yellow, which is even an odder color. Same restaurant, same service, same food. But they came back under these two different light conditions, and they found that people who were under the violet color just felt happier and perhaps were able to spend more money on food or drink. Anyway, they reported their experience.
I think that if you know, okay, I'm not sure if proper studies have been done any time in the last 20 years, but if a proper this is very well known, and it goes back at least 4 decades, at least. So I would be really, really curious about where that work went, because, and I'm really, really having to suppress myself about I can't. A decorator called that pink something absolutely memorable. Okay, that I can only tell you off the air. But as I said, that was almost 4 decades ago, and I still remember it. And then, you know, any kid who grew up on the West Side, or who had friends on the Upper West Side of Manhattan,
yeah,
in the early, you know, late 60s, early 70s, knew that hideous, another thing I can't really say on the, during the Breakfast Club, that sort of browny wall color that many lobbies were painted.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And as I said, these are two descriptives that I can't, but
yeah,
you couldn't find a kid that grew up in New York or spent time in New York during their childhood that wasn't color aware in that way.
And since, and it had negative, it was a negative response,
well, it was,
right?
It was baby poop color.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But it's like, who mixed that color? Who thought to mix that color? Because this is going to make our tenants, our residents feel, I mean,
we do have absolutely negative responses. I mean, not just, you know, the terrible, intense pink that I saw, but we do have negative responses, and you know, and you would think that, you know, just giving people neutral colors rather than something that had negative associations would be an obvious way to go. But you know, one of the things that I did not come across was by these in the researchers' understanding of how people responded to colors was the fact that there are vast cultural differences in how we respond to colors. I mean, just look at something concerning what you wear if there's a death. Mourning clothes, mourning colors. You know, Western Europe and America, we wear black. But if you go to an Asian country, you wear white. White is the color of mourning, not black. And so it's a totally different perception. Blue is considered to be a color bringing good fortune, and in some countries, many of them in the Middle East, a color that will ward off evil things that might happen to you because of spirits that are trying to create mischief in your life. And so you have doors that are painted blue, so that the evil spirits won't enter your door. And that has a very strong, you know, emotional association. And red also is considered in Asia with good luck, good fortune. You know, the Chinese New Year, you give money in a red envelope. And yet in African countries, red is associated with death.
So therefore, it seems like it's easy enough to pick your spot. You don't have to globalize the color that the home is painted.
Well, you know, to add to something, not close, but in certain portions of New England and other portions of in this country, houses with porches, the ceilings were painted blue because it kept spirits away and brought good.
Really?
Yeah.
The same belief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and it also is going to have everything to do with where the people who now live there came from.
Exactly.
So I would basically say, this is, and I have no basis for this except to be obnoxious. That whoever did what limited studies there were, probably did them online or something. They didn't think, but going back to, you know, way, 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 way back. Thousands. Color has always been a harmonic way of communicating, a piece of mathematics. And yeah. The idea that it has simply been, you know, turned into...
something commercial. They're trying to monetize.
Yeah, they just reduced the lowest common denominator.
Exactly, saying, well, you know, I'm going to consult with this restaurant owner and say he's going to have people spend more money on a high-priced wine if you color... the wall is magenta. You know, that, you know, I think really requires some kind of verification, but you're absolutely right. We have innate responses and to color, and part of it is due to the culture in which we grew up.
No, you're absolutely right. All right. Time to be continued. It's another problem we've got to solve. Thank you very much,
okay,
Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood. I was writing Marshall a note to see if I could tell him that decorator color. But he couldn't read it.
No, the tradition was in the South, the Deep South. Porches, roofs were painted blue because spirits and haunts couldn't cross water.
Well, you know, all you have to do is spend a little time in Louisiana